Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Eccles Show, the fastest 3 hours on internet talk radio is right here, powered by Zinc Media Arts. Here it is, Monday, July number 23 in the year of our Lord 2018, as we head towards the end of July, last full week. Then next week is a partial week. So the last full week of July already. Ah, man, summer's flying by. Gotta love it, though. Any case, glad that you are still here and tuned in. We are on track and on time today. No technical issues today, knock on wood, thankfully. At least none that I know about yet. I'm sure there's probably a tech issue out there that either, one, I haven't heard about yet or noticed, or, well, it just hasn't reared its ugly head yet. That's just the way it seems. In any case, glad that everybody is out there in the listening audience, and hopefully you took something away that you could utilize, and pay attention to the talking heads later on today. See if they don't put all this together with Trump and the triangle. I should coin it the peace triangle. Because we have the potential peace triangle in there with North Korea, of course, with China. And now it looks like, according to Rouhani, we may have a peace triangle forming with Russia forming. Because this is the first time, remember, but that first time you heard them. I know the Iranians always say one thing, and I know it's in their their religious book. You can lie to anybody that's a non-Muslim in order to get your way, blah blah blah. I know all that, but you got to understand, it's the first time we heard this. I believe it's hey Trump, dude, you know, peace with us is the mother of all peace, man. Maybe we should be talking peace here. And this did not happen. This message did not get sent or related until after Trump met with Putin. Do you think maybe Putin got on the phone with Rouhani and said, look, you know, this guy's pretty damn serious. You better find, you know, you got a shot here of saving face and backing out of all this kind of crap. Not to mention, down in your neck of the, Russia is not going to take on Saudi Arabia. They're just not. Now, I'm not saying that Russia can't defeat Saudi. The point is that you can't take on a direct ally of the United States without engaging the USA. It's like Russia cannot take on Israel, because that would mean in a direct engagement with us. Putin doesn't want that. You know, Syria is a big, how many, folks, can I tell you how many times Putin drew a line? You know, we talk about Obama drawing a line in the sand. Remember the couple of times that Putin did? You know, when a couple of his jets got shot down by Turkey. The whole area, folks. I could go into a number of programs about how ridiculously confusing and convoluted the entire area is. Now, you've got Russia, who's on the side of the Assad regime. Turkey does not necessarily like the Assad regime, but they definitely do not like the Kurds. Why? Because the Kurds, again, are Arabs, and the Turks are Persian. They don't like the Kurds. So Russia's down there helping two people that Erdogan doesn't like. Turkey doesn't like. So the Russians think, well, you know, what's Turkey going to do if we accidentally cross their border? Well, Turkey will shoot down your jets. Now, has Russia even come close to attempting the crossing and violating the airspace of Turkey since then? I don't think so. They haven't. But you do that again and we're going to have problems. Well, hey, Putin, don't invade our airspace and we got no problems. Has Putin tried to, for as far as we know, you know, what the lamestream media is reporting, there hasn't been any real incursions against on Turkish airspace. I don't think we've had much issues. Well, I'm not saying not us, obviously, Russia. And there have been a couple of times, you know, when the U.S. and Russians have come close to going to loggerheads, you know, going to blows, and Putin seems to back down. You know, hey, don't drop any more bombs, and we do, and nothing happens. So it's kind of like the you know, things are a little bit not completely, but a little bit reversed. And so with Trump, so now you get Trump and Putin talking, and then all of a sudden, within a week, that weekend after Putin and Trump have a nice long conversation, we get this first ever heard of peace offering from Iran. I know. They're tricky. It's tricky. I get it. You know, Run DMC doesn't have anything on Rouhani. I got it. But be that as it may, there looks to be movement in the right direction, and that's all it takes. All it takes is somebody, you put your hand, the hand of peace out. That's it. That's all we've been doing. And, you know, all our enemies have been slapping that hand away and biting that hand. But now they may be moving, taking a step in the direction of grabbing hold of that hand of peace. North Korea did. Nobody ever thought that would happen. But they took a step forward to grabbing that hand. Could Iran be making a similar move? It's worth watching. We'll have to see. Who knows? Maybe we'll have get some information. Not guarantee anything, but we'll see. We'll see as the weeks progress, days and weeks progress. Los Angeles Times has a story here. Analysis. It's their analysis by David Cloud. I guess David Cloud he's got his head up in the clouds. Trump's attack weakened transatlantic security relationship, but Europe has few alternatives. No, Europe doesn't have any alternatives. If they want our help, is Europe going to turn to Russia for security for Europe? No. Are they going to turn to China? No. Are they going to turn to Africa? No. There's nobody there. No, this first world countries are very limited on this planet right now. That's just a fact, folks. We know this. There is only so many of them. As a matter of fact, there's even fewer Class A first world countries. You know, China has emerged to being a first world country, and they're quickly becoming a Class A first world. And some of our Class A countries are in first world are falling out. Potentially, they have troubles. I mean, Italy. Would people call Italy a Class A first world country? I'm not so sure that they still are. They're having some troubles. You have all these first world countries that there aren't many of them on the planet as far as countries are concerned. Understand that. First, literally, Real first world class A countries on this planet are the minority. We hold the most money and power. That's why we're, you know, class A first world. I get it. But that means that class A first world countries have to depend on each other for their mutual benefit. There's no place else to go. You know, Germany, France, and England, Spain, and Italy, they can't, who are they going to, without the United States, who are they going to turn to? Well, Rod, are you saying that Poland and, like, you know, the Czech Republic and Greece and all those aren't first world? Yeah, they're first world countries, but they're not class A. They're nowhere near on par economically, scientifically, or militarily on par with the rest of the first world. They're just not. Yeah, it's not. I'm not being derogatory. It's just the way it is. And I'm not saying that they can't develop into being class A. They're just not there yet. They don't have the ability. Why do you think they're trying to, so many, you know, like Poland and Ukraine and all these other Eastern European, why do you think they're trying to get on board with NATO and the European Alliance and the EU? Is because they understand they want to be class A in the first world, and most of the class A first world European countries are in the EU and in NATO. These people are not dumb. So when class A NATO European nations are saying, well, you know, USA isn't going to pay our way anymore, what are we going to do? You don't have any other options. Live up to your promised obligations, what you agreed to do. Donald Trump is not, you know, if you agreed to put, let me just give you the basic example. You're France. In the NATO agreement, the NATO treaty, you agreed to put up $5 billion a year for your own defense into NATO. And every year you only pay $1 billion. Well, Donald Trump is just asking you to pony up the additional $4 billion. Live up to your obligation. Nothing more. He's not asking you to pay $10. He's not demanding that you pay $10 billion. When you've agreed to pay $5 billion, he's saying, look, you're only paying $1 billion. Live up to your obligations and pay your $5 billion or we're out. That's it. And the left here act like Trump is trying to disrupt the entire new world order. He's not. He's only getting... Folks, Donald Trump is forcing these people, these new world order people, to live up to their own agreements. Do you realize this? He's not trying to forge new agreements. He's saying... Live up to your own agreement. You cannot use us as your piggy bank anymore. We're not going to support you this way. If you can't help yourselves, then we can't help you. The old, you got to help yourself before somebody else can help you type of thing. Well, you know, you pledged and promised that you were going to help yourself, and you haven't been doing it, and unfortunately, past presidents have let you get away with it. Well, I'm not going to do that anymore. And Europe is just shaking in their boots saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, we can't use the USA as a piggy bank anymore. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You don't have any choice. Live up to, if you don't want to pay or you can't pay what you agreed to, then you never should have agreed to it. I mean, I know there are some people who are saying, well, everybody knew that they weren't going to live up to their agreements. It was just to put it on paper to make it look good. Well, at some point, somebody was going to come along and call your bluff and say, look, you promised to pay $5 billion every year, and you're only paying one. Pay five. Now, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but you get the point. Nobody's asking France or Germany or Britain or anybody else to pay more than they agreed to pay. And by the way, this is for their own defense. Might I make that clear? You know, left is always complaining about our military budget is too damn big and we've got too many soldiers and military bases all over the planet. Well, guess what? If our allies ponied up the cash that they were supposed to pony up, and spent more on their own defense, guess who gets to spend less? Guess who gets to bring home their soldiers? Guess who gets to close their bases overseas? We do. You would think that the liberal left in this country would be all over the fact that those people in Europe are not paying their fair share. Because, you know, we always talk about people here paying taxes, paying their fair share. They're not paying their fair share that they agreed to pay. We're not demanding that they pay more. We're only asking that they pay what they agreed to pay. If they did that, they wouldn't need as much of our help, which means we wouldn't spend as much money on, because military bases overseas are far more expensive than having a military base here. We wouldn't need to have a big military bases over there. We'd save billions every year. And guess who would win on that one? Liberals, the left here would say, see, we don't need to have $750 billion military budget because we just cut the budget by $50 billion by not having to spend it overseas. Then they'd have a legitimate argument. But these are people running around trying to work against the president, who's trying to get us to spend less money on our military overseas, something that the left has always said that they've wanted. Does anybody put that together? So no, instead they come out with these stupid little pieces, like in the LA Times by David Cloud, Trump's attack weakened the transatlantic security relationship. No, it's not. He's trying to strengthen it. Because if we're the only one taking their security seriously, then they're not secure at all. Are they? No, they're not. You know, England has got to take its own security seriously. France has got to take its own security seriously. Germany has got to take... And right now, they don't. They don't. So Trump is forcing, again, hey, look, if we don't get to spend all this money and have all of our attention, our manpower over in Europe, guess where we get to focus? On places that really are hot spots, like the Middle East, like the Korean Peninsula. Guess what that does? It's called peace through strength. You know, we once had a president that said, speak softly but carry a big stick. Well, I know that Trump isn't speaking softly. He's speaking very loudly and very brazenly, but you get the point. Anybody think Teddy Roosevelt spoke softly? I don't. Anybody think Winston Churchill didn't have a big stick, not like the USA, but he didn't have a small stick. Anybody think Winston Churchill spoke softly? I don't think he did either. But and here's a story from Axios. This is the story I mentioned earlier about world leaders turning Trump tricks against him. This is world leaders are learning to play President Trump using his own set of predictable negotiating tricks. The most vivid example of this is French President Emmanuel Macron bragging to Trump that he was jamming him by stealing the art of the deal techniques Axios has learned. The problem is, if that's all Macron has is Trump's art of the deal, as I have mentioned earlier this morning, Trump is the master of negotiating. I have read Art of the Deal. That isn't even half of what Trump possibly knows as far as negotiating. That isn't even half of his best tricks weren't even put. You do not do that. You do not disseminate all your secrets and especially your best secrets, quote unquote secrets, in a book what was the original hardcover? 1995? It's not going to happen. Now you can get the damn, it's in soft cover and it's in used books. You could pick it up for a penny. You know, on Amazon, you're not going to get earth-shattering secrets for a buck. Now, frankly, Axios is so full of it and so stupid, they don't realize how dumb they're making Macron out to be.
Oh, President Trump, I have read the book, The Art of the Deal, and I am going to use your art against you.
While Trump is saying, go ahead, little grasshopper. You're not even close to even touching the master. Yeah, that's the honest truth. Look, I've been at this sales game for a few decades now. I, I, I've been through a ton of training. You know, I've been certified as a master trainer in a number of different, you know, fields of, you know, you got the Sandler technique, you've got the Ziegler technique, you got this tech, you got the, you know, this technique and that guy's tech. I've taken them all. Read all their books, taken a lot of their classes, you know, even had companies that I worked for, they pay for the seminars, they pay for the CDs and the tapes, and I have all that stuff. I have a lot of it still here in my office. I've heard it, seen it, negotiated, learned it, all that kind of stuff. Put it into practice. A lot of it works. Some of it's BS, doesn't work. I know it works and what doesn't. And I can tell you, I've read The Art of the Deal, and everything in Trump, I know Trump knows more than I do. Everything I know isn't in Trump's book. So there ain't no way in hell that Marcone has even got, he got a taste, a flavor. That's it. I know, we tell people, read Art of the Deal. We tell people to read Art of the Deal, not because they're going to get all the secrets that Trump knows, but just so they can start to understand the way the man thinks. It doesn't mean that you're going to think just like him and you're going to be able to out-negotiate him using that book. Now, far from it. In fact, if that's all you're using, he's going to crush you. I'm just saying, if all you're using is Art of the Deal as your basis for negotiating with Trump, he is going to crush you. After all, he did write the book. He knows exactly what it says and what's in it. And these people, they're not Marcone, Axios. These leftists, they're so ignorant, so stupid, that they believe all we got to do is read the damn book that he put out, or the couple of books that he put out, and we're going to know it. Anybody read any of Trump's book and become a billionaire in real estate? Anybody? Just read one book or all of his books. Anybody? I don't think there's a single person out there that has read Donald Trump's books and thought that they had all the information they possibly could ever need to become a billionaire real estate developer. Because that kind of information is not in those books. I honestly, people want to go over this kind of stuff. Over, hey, we know what you're thinking, Donald, because I read your book. Yeah, I know what I'm thinking too, and I know what I didn't put in the book. So go ahead and try to use the book against me. See if I don't crush you. That's exactly what's going to happen. Marcone is going to think. I seriously hope that Marcone doesn't think he's smart enough to do that. Really, I mean, it would just talk about being embarrassing. Oh my God, that would be overly, terribly embarrassing if he did that. And he got crushed. Now he is at least a step ahead of the people who haven't, you know, the wonderful world leaders who haven't bothered to read the book. But then again, I think Marcone has a bit of a bro crush on Trump anyway. He just probably likes the way he operates. Seriously.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eggles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
And now a message from our sponsor. Ladies, tired of drying your hair with the same old vacuum cleaner? Try Avanchet brand new Beauty Locks portable hair dryer. It's smaller, it's faster, it's guaranteed to give you the hair you've always wanted in half the time. Beauty Locks is delicate and dainty, just like you. The dryer weighs only a pound and easily fits in your hand. Now that's beauty and convenience. With a speedy motor that will dry your hair in as little as 25 minutes, you can get gorgeous hair without falling behind schedule. Don't worry about the little ones or that pie in the oven. Thanks to an extra-long extension cord, you can move around while primping your locks. Forget those long trips to the salon and no more waiting for hours under monster machines. Avanchet gives you an easy and speedy hairdo that will blow your man away. Get it now at your nearest Macy's.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Today, there's a beer for everyone.
Hey, me and the guys are going out for a beer. You want to come along?
Nah, I got a lot of data to enter into the computer tonight.
Now, there's a brew for the future.
Want me to bring you something back?
Thanks, but I got some right here.
Microsoft Brew.
You got a beer tap on your computer?
With a head so thick, you can float a mouse on it.
Let me get this straight. You make your own beer with the computer?
With the right software, you can do anything.
Microsoft Brew.
Here, I call this one Windows 95.
I don't know. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
And if you got to get there quicker, try the new ISDN malt liquor.
Hello, America. It's me, your history. I remember a time when we thumbed our nose in a king's face and sent him packing. And when fascists and emperors talked a little bit too loud, we showed up, tore their cities to the ground, and then rebuilt them just to prove we could. We put men on the moon, we won a Cold War, and we elected fearless leaders who led fearless people. What the hell happened to you, America? Back in my day, we didn't elect a big-eared community organizer. We punched him in the kidney. Maybe it's time you came home, America. Home where you belong.
And now we come to that portion of the program where I bring to you today's holidays. Yes, the holidays for today, which happens to be July number 23, are thus. It is Gorgeous Grandma Day. Yes, and this all came about because Alice Solomon graduated from Wellesley College at the age of 50 back in 1984. She felt that society didn't take grandmas seriously and that grandmas could be as hot or sexy and smart and vibrant as younger women. So it's Gorgeous Grandma Day, thanks to Alice Solomon, Solomon graduating from Wellesley College back in 84. It's also National Vanilla Ice Cream Day. Not ice, baby. No, it's ice cream, vanilla ice cream day. I can't believe it. Anybody remember Vanilla Ice? I know most of us probably want to forget him, but he's just one of those one-hit wonder has-been stars that won't let us forget him, really. But this has nothing to do with the rapper, singer, Vanilla Ice from the 80s. It has to do everything to do with one of the favorite ice cream flavors out there, vanilla. It is National Vanilla Ice Cream Day. It's also World Sojourn Day. It's to commemorate Dr. Henrik Sjögren, a Swedish ophthalmologist who was born on this day. It is his birthday today. So Sjögren, I guess, is how we pronounce it in American eyes. Sjogren. It is also Hot Enough For You Day. Yeah, this is a little bit of global warming tongue-in-cheek stuff here. Is it hot enough for you? Well, in some places, probably today, it probably is very warm and hot, especially if you're down in the Southwest. So it's Hot Enough For You Day. I know, where do they come up with some of these days? It's just ridiculous. It's also Yada 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 Day. I know. First we get Hot Enough For You Day, and now we get Yada 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 Day. I don't make up these days. So what is Yada Yada Day? Well, let me give you a little description background on it. Michael W. Caspi saw back on April 17, 2015, that there was a blah, blah, blah day. He then tweeted out declaring July 23rd as Yada 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 Day. He also created Facebook and Twitter pages for the day. Yes, so now you can go and join the Yada Yada Facebook page and the Yada 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 Twitter page. Caspi said that the Seinfeld episode, the Yada Yada Yada, was part of the creative inspiration for the establishment of the day. The Yada Yada was the 153rd episode in the series and aired on April 24 in 1997. It soon became one of the most popular Seinfeld episodes ever. You celebrate the day by watching Seinfeld. And it is most fitting to watch the Yada 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 episode. Is that like the King of Queens episode of Festivus? I mean, it's well, there you go. And those are your holidays for today, July number 23. Now go out and celebrate response. I need a break on this one. I can't believe today's holidays. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Oh boy. Okay. Back to some serious stuff here. Exclusive, according to Reuters, alleged Russian agent Butina, B-U-T-I-N-A, met with U.S. Treasury and Fed officials. Oh, but wait, there's more. Maria Butina accused the United States of spying for Russia, accused in the United States of spying for Russia, had a wider high-level contacts in Washington than previously known. I love this in previously known. Previously known by who? Everybody who was in the know knew. Oh, the lamestream. Maybe the lamestream media didn't know because they chose not to know. But taking part in a 2015 meetings between visiting Russian officials and two senior U.S. officials. Wait. 2015. Wasn't it, that was before the 2016 election, before Trump became president, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just. Okay. Now, the meetings disclosed by several people familiar with the sessions and a report prepared by a Washington think tank that arranged them involved Stanley Fisher and Federal Reserve Vice Chairman and then Federal Reserve Vice Chairman and Nathan Sheets, the Treasury Undersecretary for International Affairs. That was 2015. Those are all Obama administration officials, folks. Now, Butina traveled to the United States in April of 2015 with Alexander Turchin, then the Russian Central Bank Deputy Governor, and took part in separate meetings with Fisher and Sheets to discuss U.S.-Russian economic relations during Democratic former President Barack Obama's administration. And all of this is now just coming to light after a year and a half to 2 years of investigating Trump for collusion. This is, folks, this is why I keep telling you the Democrats are going to get to the point where they're going to have to shut down Mueller. Because the more they investigate, the longer this goes on, the more we find out how deeply involved in this so-called collusion Clinton and or Obama was. We don't. The only thing that they have on some former Trump officials of what they did before Trump even announced he was going to be a candidate for president. You know, Manafort. They're trying to jack him up on stuff that he did back in the early 2000s. Had nothing to do with the Trump campaign at all. So they can't seem to find. Oh yeah, every time somebody gets pointed at, like Cohn. Oh, man, we got him now. They got tapes. And they start playing. Wait, that's not Trump. Or, they used a check in order to pay somebody off so they have a record of it. Isn't that wonderful? So it's not under the table cash that was given to some of these people, like Stormy Daniels. It was a check written so there'd be a record, a paper trail. Well, if you're trying to hide something, you do not overtly leave a paper trail. Just saying. It's just unbelievable stuff. So the more that they keep digging, the more they keep investigating, the more. Now, folks, you got the lamestream media who's reporting this stuff. Now, obviously, if they're thinking that they have to report this now, this kind of stuff with this Russian collusion in 2015, it means that there's a hell of a lot more out there. Again, it's just like Trump's poll numbers. If they've got his forced low polls at 45%, you know that they're about 4 or 5 points higher. So Trump is at least at 50%. Some polls have Trump at 55 that I've seen, 55%. But he's at least 50% positive. But they want to pull it down and pull him down and pull him backwards, and it's not working. Well, I don't. These people, I'll give them credit, man. They do not give up. They take the Winston Churchill speech to heart. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never. 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 So, I mean, this is what they're taking, but they keep throwing the same crap at the wall, and none of it seems to be sticking, at least not on Trump. It's sticking on other people that they don't want the mud to stick to. And it gets to the point sometimes where some of this stuff is just too obvious that they have to report it, that then they end up doing it. But like this, Butina meeting with Obama officials in 2015. Well, isn't that collusion?
Because Obama was already president.
Well, what were they meeting for? We're not being told this stuff, are we? I don't know. It's just it's fascinating to see that the two meetings, which have not been previously reported, reveal a wider circle of high-powered connections that Butina sought with American political leaders and special interest groups long before Trump became president of these United States. Speaking of president of the United States, we got a new president of Cuba. Now, folks, this is something that's beautiful. This is beautiful stuff here. Cuba aims to build socialism, not communism, in its new draft constitution. Yeah! Wait. Hold on. A draft of Cuba's new constitution keeps the Communist Party as its leading political force, but states as its aim the construction of socialism rather than communism, reflecting changing times, top officials told lawmakers this weekend in the USA. Cuba is replacing its Soviet-era constitution with a new constitution to reflect and implement political and economic changes designed to make its one-party socialist system one of the last in the world sustainable. Wait, are you telling me that the way it used to, or it is now, or the way it used to be, was not sustainable? Really? Okay. I thought socialism, communism was great. This should give greater legal recognition to the micro-businesses that have flourished in the wake of market reforms. The Constitution will, for example, the new Constitution will recognize private property, something long stigmatized by the Communist Party as a vestige of capitalism. Oh yeah, God forbid you ever feel that you own your own stuff. Now, the Secretary of the Council of State, Homero Acosta, told lawmakers over the weekend that Cuba's current 1976 constitution only recognizes state cooperative, farmer, personal, and joint venture or property. You don't get to own your own shit, in other words, in Cuba without their consent. The draft also appears to strengthen political institutions and create a more collective leadership structure. After nearly 60 years of rule by the late revolutionary leader Fidel Castro and his brother Raul. There you go. So now Cuba, they can't handle communism anymore, so they're going to write a new constitution that basically says it's going to be socialist. Now, this is kind of funny considering that moderate Democrats today, I got this story, are calling themselves centrist Democrats. And they are now starting to argue against the far left leaning agenda in 2020 from people like Ocasio-Cortez and her democratic socialism. So in other words, Ocasio-Cortez wants the United States to be more like Cuba. Even though Cuba sees that, you know, their whole political and economic system is a failure, so they're looking to change it. Leading moderate Democrats forcefully argue this week that the party can embrace a robust agenda of change while still praising capitalism and downplaying income equality. Well, of course they have to. Now they're going to have to get on the bandwagon for praising capitalism because now they've got too many people on their side who are taking advantage of capitalism. You know, remember the billionaire stayer who doesn't like Trump, impeached Trump, He's a socialist that loves capitalism? Hey, look, Google, Amazon, all these companies worth bazillions of dollars trying to embrace socialism on a socialist agenda while embracing and making tons and tons of money off of capitalism. Well, now you got the so-called centrist Dems now, or moderate Democrats, are saying, well, look, you know, we kind of like capitalism. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, they're perfect examples of loving capitalism, by the way. Just saying. Anybody forget those two? How they went from basically going from broke to being worth over $100 million? What is their actual how much money did they get from, like, $400 million from Russia? And Bill Clinton got a, I don't know, $500,000 speech for, like, a 10-minute speech? It's ridiculous. Capitalism worked for them. They're downplaying the income equality. Well, because there isn't a whole... Well, if you upplay the income equality problem in this country that they say, well, then you've got to point out that the wealthiest person now in the wealthiest person in the world, you know, Bezos, is a huge socialist Democrat supporter. But he's worth over $100 billion. Well, how does that jive with income equality? Especially when Amazon doesn't seem to be paying its workers, especially in the warehouse, a living wage. Remember that? You know, we used to hear about Walmart not paying their employees a living wage. Walmart employees, they get food stamps and they get this assistant and government assistance and that government assistance. Remember that? Remember hearing that? Now all of a sudden we got the same thing supposedly happening over at Amazon. We don't hear the left talking about that anymore. Oh, they hated Walmart. But now, all of a sudden, well, you know, we got Jeff Bezos out there who's a big supporter of ours, and he's kind of doing things the same that Walmart did, or maybe even worse. You know, we can't talk about this anymore. I'm just saying. And you got, what did we have? What did we have a few years ago? We had a bunch of some of these Amazon warehouses. Employees were passing out because of the heat, because in a lot of the warehouse areas, they didn't have air conditioning. And they're big metal buildings. All there are is big ovens, man. So, of course, they're going to get hot. There was often times where people, you know, sellers, you know, third-party sellers were basically told if you were sending stuff that's easily meltable, like candles or wax items, don't make sure they don't get sent to certain distribution centers because they don't have any air conditioning. The stuff will melt on you. I'm just saying, this is real reality stuff here. And Democrats gathered in Ohio's capital city of Columbus last week over the weekend in what was an opening salvo, the left believes, of the 2020 Democratic presidential primary, part of a conference organized by the center-left think tank Third Way. But they're trying to distance themselves from people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's identifying herself and her base as Democratic Socialist. Well, the Democrats don't want to be aligned with being known as being socialist like Cubans from Cuba, because they understand that the whole notion of Cuba still leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, especially Cubans living down there in Florida. Do you think that if these people up here want to turn Florida or the United States into Cuba, the place in which they fled and risked their life to flee, are going to want to return to Cuba? No. So what do you got to do? Distance yourself from Ocasio-Cortez and her ilk, who's all up in New York, by the way. Oh, that's great. You know, you can be an East Coast liberal. And that's fine. You bring that garbage down to Miami, and now you got a problem. But it's not just Miami. There's places all over the country that have this kind of problem, and the Democrats know this, which is why they're trying to distance themselves. But if you ask the New York Times, that's not a big deal because Democrats see openings at state level thanks to Trump resistance. What resistance? There isn't any. Oh, you mean that? The last U.S. protest of Donald Trump, where you're expecting thousands of people and only two dozen show up? That resistance, the resistance where you've got 90% of all the elections that have taken place since the presidential election, the Democrats haven't flipped 90% of them. They flipped Jack. Net flip is Jack. That kind of resistance, that kind of wave, leftist wave, I'm not going to call it blue because blue is the color of water and water is a good thing. Here's their story. A polarizing president electrifies the opposition party going into his first midterm election. What electrification of the opposition? There isn't any. Again, you got to ask, what are they resisting? We got to resist. Resist what? Better economic times? Better world security? More world peace? Dictators all over the planet coming to heel, as Clinton would put it. People who promised to pay $5 billion, they're being held accountable to pay the $5 billion? You know what I'm saying? So all of this stuff, making America great, keeping America great, making the entire world safer, more secure, more profitable, all of that. Are you resisting all of that? Is that what you're telling me you're going to resist? I'm just saying. The left is now. Look, there is about to be a Democrat Party civil war. I'm going to sit back with some popcorn and watch this one. It should be fun. You know, Democrats out-democrating, trying to out-democrat each other. Well, they're trying to pull the party farther left. If they do that, the Democrat Party's dead. And I think Democrats see that. They can't allow the party to be pulled over into the realm of being a democratic social. You can't really say it out loud, man. You can't say that out loud. We can act like it, but you can't say it. In any case, that's what the Democrats are up against now. I guess they have some sort of resistance that we don't know about, and it's a secret wave, I guess, is going to envelop and crash over us in November. I know there's a lot of time between now and November, so anything can happen. But at this particular juncture, folks, it is going to be a complete washout for the left. But don't underestimate them. That's all I'm saying. Other than I have to say that we're out of time for today, but we will be back here tomorrow. Again, same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, have a wonderful Monday afternoon. See you tomorrow, folks. I'm Rod Eccles. Thanks for tuning in. I'm out.
Damn, it feels good to be Clinton. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A shameless politician always plays her cards right. Got a crew for the fight on the airwaves. Lap dogs in the press keep the mouths tight. Cause a Clinton never needs to explain what, why it is what they done or with who. A real Clinton knows that they're entitled. And you don't get to know what they do.
What difference does it make?
For Clinton, what's loaded in some fat apple file? A Clinton plays the victim for promotion. A Clinton kills it off with a smile. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A server full of secrets ain't no thing. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Nothing ever hits with a sting.